privatization of basic rights and of basic goods, and that families would have to become indebted to procure these basic things. And that's what led, really, in Chile to these massive protests.
Camila Vallejo and Noam Tiedemann, we have to end it there, but we'll continue in a post-show discussion and post it online at democracynow.org. That does it for our broadcast. If you'd like a copy of today's show, you can go to our website, democracynow.org. Again, we'll be at Hofstra University broadcasting the debate tonight. You can go to our website at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow morning, a special two-hour broadcast, including third-party voices in the debate. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Berger, Nate Felser, Martin Nirminshay, Steve Martinez, and Malcolm Honeymasu, Robbie Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield. I'm Amy Goodman, Nirminshay. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is Donna with your WUSB Concert Billboard for Tuesday, October 16th. Fiona Apple and Blake Mills will be at Terminal 5 Manhattan Monday and Tuesday, 8 p.m. Buck Cherry will be at the Paramount in Huntington Village, 8 p.m. Crosby, Stills & Nash will be at the Beacon Theater Manhattan, 8 p.m. Dorian Wallace and his big band will be at Something Jazz Club, New York City. The Infamous String Dusters will be at the Brooklyn Bowl in Brooklyn, 8 p.m. Ricky Roach will be at Patty's Loft, Massapequa. Your Billboard for Wednesday, October 17th. Emerson String Quartet will be at the Stoller Center for the Arts at Stony Brook University, 8 p.m. Blue Devil Big Band will be at Bobby Q in Patchogue, 7 p.m. Crosby, Stills & Nash will be at the Beacon Theater, New York City. Jason Crosby will be at Iridium, NYC, 8 p.m. Your Concert Billboard for Thursday, October 18th. Weird Al Yankovic will be at the NYCB Theater at Westbury. Tres Amigos will be at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington, 7:30. John Fulbright with Matthew and the Atlas will be at the Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport, 8 p.m. Walking Sideways will be at 89 North in Patchogue, 8:30. Lone Star and Southbound will be at the Emporium in Patchogue, 8 p.m. The Long Island Music Hall of Fame 4th Induction Awards Ceremony and Fundraising Gala will be at the Paramount in Huntington Village, 6:30. Barbara Cook will be at Carnegie Hall, Manhattan, 8 p.m. Your WUSB Concert Billboard for Friday, October 19th. Buddy Merriam Trio, mandolin and bluegrass music will be at the Maribel Tavern at Three Village Inn, 9 p.m. Whoopi Goldberg will be at the Tillis Center in Greenville. Maria Muldaur will be at the Bolton Center, Bayshore. The Grey Horse Tavern welcomes Mick Hargreaves at 9:30 in Bayport. Panic will be at the Blacksmith Tavern in Smithtown, 9 p.m. Vision of Disorder will be at the Revolution Bar and Music Hall in Amityville, 8 p.m. Carrie Carney Trio will be at the Tap and Barrel in Smithtown, 9 p.m.
The local music, the local venues, the local bands. We know them, we love them, we play them live and studio recordings like no one else does. Please give so we can keep bringing them to you. Call 632-6901 or go to the website wusb.fm/pledge. WUSB Stony Brook.
And this is WUSB Stony Brook. It's 1 minute after 6 o'clock. Time for Off the Wall. We'll be right back. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. And all eyes are turning to Long Island tonight. And this week, it's not just because of this show that that's happening. It's because of the second presidential debate, which is taking place at a prestigious college campus right here on Long Island, which for some reason is not ours. It's Hofstra University. I think the only reason it's Hofstra University and not Stony Brook is because it's closer to the city. And, well, this time of day, traffic is really kind of bad on the Long Island Express. So, you know, if you're a commuter listening to this, yet one more reason to hate yourself because you're keeping the presidential debate from coming to Stony Brook because they don't want to battle traffic like you're doing. I have a thing about commuters. For some reason, commuters and SUV drivers are the two angriest people in the world, as far as I'm concerned, two angriest groups of people. And here at Stony Brook, they sort of mix because they have the, for some reason, this is a very bad move in my eyes, they have the Stony Brook train station, and they let all the commuters park on campus. So what happens this time of day is all the commuters are going home from work, but they're going through the campus. And everybody runs through the stop sign and almost collides with the people who have right of way. And they're always very angry, and they're always trying to get ahead of the people in front of them. And they're always driving their SUVs. Yeah, it's just sad. It's sad, but typical as well. Anyway, yeah, okay, so the debate's happening. But it's not happening here. It's happening in Nassau County, and it's going to be interesting—a town hall setting this time, and we'll see if Obama can make up for his quote-unquote lackluster performance last time. You know, I watched that performance. I did. In fact, I even this is what I love about the East Village. You can simply find a place that has similar, like-minded individuals that are interested in something going on in the world. Not just the Yankee game or whatever else was playing that night, and not covering your ears and trying to avoid it all, but actually paying attention. And there are multiple places where you could just go and do that, bars, restaurants, just gatherings of various sorts. So no difficulty at all finding something like that. And I imagine the same is probably true tonight in various places as well. And that's the other thing, you know, this... Those damn Yankees are still in the playoffs. And somebody tonight in the debate is going to make mention of that fact. They're going to say something because they're talking to a New York crowd. They're on opposite the ball game, which is on some other channel someplace. And they're going to want to get brownie points by saying something about the Yankees. You mark my words. Now, who's going to be first? Who's going to try and win over the crowd with that kind of a remark? Probably Obama, I would think. But I'm sure Romney will have something to say as well. It's just your typical politicians. And, you know, this is another sore point. Everybody knows it's politics. Everybody knows it's the same old thing. And so what that leads to is a lot of people simply saying, it doesn't matter, I'm not going to pay any attention. Just going to walk away and do something else. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's the same thing as just not caring at all. Yeah, you know, you're going to have the status quo. That's why it's the status quo. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. The most you can do is try and veer it off course a little bit and start something. You can't come in the middle or the end. You have to start at the beginning. And you never do that by not paying attention. So, yeah, you know what? It's all about the same old people in power, and nothing's going to change. Although, I take exception with that remark. Things do change, but they don't change quickly enough for any of us. But if you simply pretend that it doesn't matter, and you don't listen, and you don't pay attention, and you condemn those who do as simply following, as if they're in some kind of a cult or something like that, you're really going to wind up... not having any say whatsoever, not having any influence, not being able to recognize change when it does come. And that's why we should always be paying attention to what's going on around us, even when it's not to our liking, especially when it's not to our liking. That goes for world events and national politics and things happening in your community. The best thing you can do for those people that disagree with you is to walk away and just stop caring. So that's why I hope people turn on the Yankee game tonight. No. Turn on the debate tonight and pay attention to what's being said. Read between the lines. Look for those little signs that maybe there's a glimmer of hope in one of these guys. And, you know, I'm really kind of fed up with people who are saying there's no difference between the two. Obviously, there is a difference. It's not a great difference, granted. It's not like they have in most other countries where, you know, the left is the left and the right is the right. Here, it's similar, but it is different enough. And you look at things like Social Security and health care and various social programs and funding of military and things like that, and you will notice significant differences. But if you really believe that, and I speak especially to those people on the so-called left in this country, if you really believe there's no difference, then go and vote for Romney in November and see if that doesn't haunt you for the rest of your life. Because I think there is a difference. I think there is, not as much of a difference as we want, but enough to make a distinction. And yeah, you know, in 2000, I was right up there with everybody else saying that Gore, Bush didn't make a difference. That's why I went with Nader. And, you know, I'm not ashamed of having gone with Nader. Still think that was the best choice of the three. But I was dead wrong thinking there was no difference between Gore and Bush. And, you know, I apply the same test to myself. I never would have been able to live with myself if I had voted for Bush. But I could have lived with myself if I voted for Gore. I wouldn't have been entirely happy, but certainly would have been better. So when we say there's no difference, let's think about what we're really saying. There is a difference. Just not as significant as we want. But again, you get there by steps. You have to start someplace. So anyway, everyone says that Obama was lackluster in that first debate. And, you know, I thought he was okay. He wasn't standing on the table or anything like that. And getting very emotional and having people cheer his every sentence. Wasn't that kind of a rally. He was being diplomatic. He was being presidential. He was not attacking and not trying to win over the crowd so much, but basically just speaking from experience and what he has encountered so far and what he hopes to do in the future. And it was boring as hell. Yes, I agree. And Romney had the advantage, particularly because they kind of planted this in the media beforehand. They said that Romney doesn't have as much experience in debates as Obama. This was Romney's people saying this. And not to expect too much. I sensed at the time that they were kind of building up to something. So it wasn't too hard. But you know what? You only get to do that once. And tonight, in a town hall setting, it should be very interesting. Now, I have no idea how unexpected the questions are. I imagine not very, because we don't like to do things that are actually free and open in this society of ours. We like to have everything planned out and choreographed just perfectly. So I'm sure we'll get some really corny answers, like, what's the best thing about this country? And nonsense like that. But hopefully one will slip through. Hopefully there'll be somebody who asks something that will allow one of these guys to show their true colors. And hopefully that'll be something we can all speak about. Hopefully people can actually stand up and be themselves. That's when people shine. Now, I watched the vice presidential debate last Thursday, and that was really interesting. You see that with Joe Biden and Paul Ryan? I thought Biden was really on his game on that night. He was passionate. He was strong. He had the facts on his side. And he wasn't letting Ryan get away with anything. And, you know, of course, right away, there's people that say, oh, my God, how could he be like that? He's interrupting. He's smiling when somebody says something that he doesn't think is true. And I think we need more of this. We need more people interrupting and debating. That's what debating is. And not being so timid, which is what the Democrats have been for as long as I can remember. And I think that's really the main reason why Republicans tend to win. You have that the Christie effect where people just basically stand up and talk loudly and passionately about something. It doesn't matter what you talk about. Somebody's going to agree with you, and then they'll be solidly on your side. Well, Democrats are way too concerned with image and not stepping out of line and trying to win people over that they're never going to win over in the first place. So maybe what Biden was doing was actually getting some courage and saying, this is who I am, I'm proud of it, and if you don't like it, that's just too damn bad. We need more of that. Because that's what gets people to say, yeah, I'm with you. Not, I could go either way, I don't really care, you're not inspiring me at all, which is what we've been getting. So, yeah, you know, I think Biden won that debate hands down. It was really amazing to me, though. I was perusing the media afterwards, and the first thing I see is on CNN saying that Ryan won the debate. They apparently had polled all these people that were Republican in nature, I think was the way it was described. But they were announcing this as if it was some kind of a conclusive answer. And I was blown away by this. How could anybody who is not completely biased on one side think that Ryan won that debate? How is that even conceivable? I think they were the only ones that reached that conclusion. It was something like 2-1 at least in most polls saying that Biden had won. Now, what I'm reading today, actually just a few minutes ago, is that Romney is ahead in the polls, the national polls. Yeah, and what that means is, it's Fox News is saying, oh, for God's sake, I hate Google News. You know why I hate Google News? Because it refreshes the screen and then it changes the stories. And that story I was just talking about is gone now. Oh, I hate that. I really hate that. I should have clicked on it first. I know, but I wanted to read the headline and now it's gone. Okay, hold on. Maybe it's in one of these sub... Oh, yeah. Okay, here it is. Way down there. Okay. Poll gives Romney national edge, underscoring stakes for Obama at debate. Yeah, a new Gallup poll released just hours before the second presidential debate, which is probably now because it's just hours before the second presidential debate. That poll shows Mitt Romney widening his national lead over President Obama. Now, did you know he had a national lead? Well, I guess you have to pay attention to Fox because... apparently he had a national lead. Everywhere I've been listening to and reading and watching has said Obama has had a lead. But apparently, according to Fox News, Romney has had the lead and now he's widening it. Yeah, pay attention, folks. So this underscores what's at stake for Obama as he tries to regain lost ground in the wake of this. That word again, a lackluster debate debut. Wow. Okay. The poll of likely voters showed Romney leading 50-46%. It echoed the conclusion from a host of both national and battleground surveys conducted after the first Obama-Romney face-off. Romney is gaining ground and in some cases surpassing Obama in the polls. Those same polls have shown most voters deem Romney the winner of the October 3rd debate. After a pause in the schedule for the vice presidential debate last week, the pressure is on the president to recapture the momentum tonight. Yeah, so very interesting to watch these polls and see how different media outlets portray it. But night and day, completely different. Let's look at this story over here. Maybe Mitt Romney's campaign team isn't so bad after all. This is coming from CNN. After months of criticism, much of it from fellow Republicans, the machine managing Romney's presidential bid has him gaining support in the final weeks of the race. The latest polls show Romney catching or slightly passing President Barack Obama in both the overall race and in some of the battleground states, still considered up for grabs and therefore vital to both candidates' chances. So, yeah, CNN is not saying it quite as strongly as Fox is saying it, but they are saying that he's slightly passing Obama and maybe catching him. Some of these polls also show a hike in Romney's favorability rating, indicating more respondents were supporting the former Massachusetts governor instead of simply opposing Obama. The late surge follows a rocky period for Romney following the rugged Republican primary campaign. Polling since the October 3rd debate in Denver shows Romney moving up. Latest CNN poll of polls, which is an aggregate of all the latest major polls, Romney was slightly ahead of Obama by 48% to 47%. Pulled ahead of the president in the crucial state of Florida by 49% to 46%. But Obama maintained his lead in two other key battleground states, 50% to 47% in Ohio, 48% to 47% in Virginia. Most analysts agree that whoever wins two of those three states will almost certainly win the White House because of the messed up system we have where we don't actually count the popular vote. So, wow. So, yeah, this is it's interesting. I guess you have to have a tight race for it to get the ratings, but it could actually be that tight. It really could. I cannot imagine what people are thinking. Can't imagine it at all. But apparently that's where we stand. So, yeah, pay attention tonight. The debate starts at 9 o'clock. And right here on Long Island, town hall setting, hopefully some interesting questions. Now, the third debate, which takes place next Monday, is, I believe, the same format as the first debate, which is stodgy and boring, but they'll be focusing primarily on foreign affairs. And that is more Obama's strong point, because he can actually pronounce most of the countries and speak intelligently about what's going on in the rest of the world. So look for that to be something that he does better at. But tonight, of course, it could be open. There could be foreign policy questions of all sorts, and we might see some spirited actual debate. And that is what I liked about the vice presidential debate, because there was back and forth. And I think it was very telling. And you ask yourself, who would you prefer to be in the White House? And you look at this used car salesman named Ryan. You know what? Doesn't work. Does not work. Very simplistic attitudes towards a lot of things. And just not having the facts on his side. Plus, I just don't trust him. So, okay, that's where we stand as far as that goes. I should also point out tonight's another fundraiser, yes. Does anybody know when this is going to end? I don't think we have any idea. We have people in the other room taking phone calls, 631-632-6901. If you find yourself riveted to the radio right now, perhaps you might consider calling in and pledging any amount. We have all kinds of WUSB items to give as thanks. And we, I believe, give more of them to people as they give more to us. Is that how it works? Yeah, there's a definite correlation there. So if you give $25, we'll give you something. If you give $250, we'll give you something even more. And it keeps going up from there. 631-632-6901. Keep independent voices alive on the radio. Keep independent radio alive on Long Island and throughout the country. There are very, very few of us left. And your support is what makes it possible. So, yeah, that's where we stand as far as that goes. 631-632-6901. Let's see. We have some other news items that I would like to get to. Hear about this gigantic eyeball that washed up on shore? Yes. This turned out to be, I believe, a gigantic squid. Yeah, it was huge. It was like a meter wide, a half a meter wide, or something like that. It was like something out of science fiction. And they think it might have been it washed ashore in Florida. They think it might have belonged to a giant squid, or maybe even a swordfish. But they just found the eye. So, you know, I got to say, this is the kind of thing that I live for when mysterious eyeballs wash up on shore and nobody knows where they come from. That's part of the mystery of life. And that's something that I think we need more of. Here's a story from our local newspaper here on Long Island, Newsday. You may have heard of it. Stand back. All right. According to police, a man stole a bottle of liquor. That's the headline. Police, man stole a bottle of liquor. Now, here's the story. Suffolk County Crime Stoppers and the 6th Precinct Crime Section are looking for a man who stole a bottle of liquor from a Miller Place shop in September. Yeah, it didn't just happen. They're reporting it now. It happened last month. Police reported this on Friday. On September 18th, a man entered Silitio, how do you pronounce that? S-I-L-I-A-T-O. Ciliato. That's a really difficult name to pronounce. Ciliato. It's a Ciliato name, that's for sure. A man entered Ciliato Liquors at 327 Route 25A and placed a bottle from the shop near an exit. He then proceeded to buy a different bottle. And when he left, he took the one he had placed near the exit without paying for it, police said. Police also Friday released a photograph of the suspect taken from video surveillance at the store. It's very dark and you can't make anything out. Police also said the suspect appeared to drive away in an older model red Isuzu Rodeo. Anyone with information can call Crime Stoppers, 800-220-8477. All calls will be kept confidential. Really? Why? Why in the name of God is this news? A man stole a bottle of liquor and it makes the regional newspaper. It's a major newspaper. It's our New York Times, except it's for Long Island. You know, it's the only daily paper we have. And this is a story that a man stole a bottle of liquor. I bet it was last month, too. I would bet there are people right now stealing things of far more value than that. All kinds of crimes are taking place. And that's just crime. You know, there are so many other stories that could take up space in the paper that would be of more interest than this. And, you know, it's not like he didn't buy anything. He bought a bottle of liquor. He just took another one as well or something, or replaced it. I don't know what his modus operandi was, but how is this news? Whose idea was this? I mean, I really think that we're getting a little desperate here. A little desperate. Yeah, also, at this point, in the interest of a full disclosure, I just wanted to express my personal apology and regrets for something I said last week. And I misspoke horribly, and many people have called me on it. And it comes from speaking before thinking. And I think we've all been guilty of that at one point or another, where we just kind of don't engage the brain before the mouth moves, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm sorry to anybody who was offended, who was hurt, who was particularly angered or frustrated by what I said. I knew, you know, as soon as I said it, I knew it was the wrong thing to say. It's just one of those things that it just got out there. And what can I say except that I'm sorry? When I said that the Seattle Pilots had become the Kansas City Royals, I should have known that, no, that's not what happened. That's not what happened at all. The truth of the matter is that the Seattle Pilots and the Kansas City Royals were both expansion teams at the same time. So therefore, one couldn't have become the other. The Seattle Pilots, in fact, moved to Milwaukee and became the Milwaukee Brewers. And I know that there's a difference between Milwaukee and Kansas City. They're not just two Midwestern cities that look the same. I know there's a difference between the two teams, whether they're in the present or back then. And I know that Seattle has a different team now that has nothing to do with anything. So I just wanted to say that I regret my remarks. I usually get this kind of thing right. And I think what might have happened was I might have gotten confused because Kansas City and Milwaukee were both midway points for teams that transferred. Yeah, hear me out on this. The Atlanta Braves. Did you know the Atlanta Braves used to be the Oh, wait, I'm not going to mess this up again, am I? No, okay. They used to be the Milwaukee Braves. All right, yeah. And before the Milwaukee Braves, they were the Boston Braves. So they went Boston, Milwaukee, Atlanta. That's what happened. And Kansas City was the midway point for the Athletics. They were the Philadelphia Athletics, Kansas City Athletics, and then the Oakland Athletics. So that might be why I mixed up Kansas City and Milwaukee, or I just might not know what I'm talking about at all, but I promise to keep my mouth shut when it comes to issues of franchise transfers in the future without fully checking my facts. And no way does this represent the views of the station, its management, or the trustees of the state of New York. Now, continuing. and won't you call us and support the radio station while we have your attention? 631-632-6901. And please fulfill your pledge once you do make a pledge. You can use credit cards or you can send us a check. Either one works just fine. Your support enables WUSB to continue broadcasting on the FM dial, which is something that many people would think is impossible. Well, let's prove them wrong. 631-632-6901. We have WUSB t-shirts and sweatshirts and baseball caps and coffee mugs and tea mugs and various other assorted items that will... And you can use these items anywhere. You don't have to be in the local area to use them. In fact, in some places, our signal comes in better in other parts of the country than it does right here because of the internet. So yeah, you can proudly wear your USB garb anywhere, even overseas, and people will stop you on the street and say, "What's that?" And hopefully you'll be prepared to answer and we'll tell them something positive about us. So yeah, all of that can come your way. Finn's in the other room. He will take your phone call, 631-632-6901, and he will explain to you in great detail what it is that you can get in exchange for your pledge. Our phone lines are open. 631-632-6901. Country code is 1. Oh, here's another story. This is one that was handed to me fairly recently. The FBI is reporting an unusual heist of some newly designed $100 bills that aren't even going into circulation until next year. Agent Frank Burton Jr. says the cash was stolen from a plane that arrived at Philadelphia International Airport, former home of the Philadelphia Athletics. This happened at around 10:25 a.m. last Thursday. The plane was coming from Dallas. Investigators said these $100 bills are easy to spot. The new bills have sophisticated elements to thwart counterfeiters, like a disappearing Liberty Bell, an orange inkwell, and a bright blue security ribbon. The FBI said a large amount of bills were stolen, but they're not saying any more than that. Well, you know what? You can have all the anti-counterfeiting techniques imaginable, but they don't do a lot of good when the bills just get stolen, do they? No, they certainly don't. And okay, you know, whoever did this, I don't think they're foolish enough to start using the bills until they go into circulation, right? So, and what you just did here is send out a nice warning to them saying, by the way, these bills are not any good until next year, and anybody spending them is obviously guilty of stealing them. So, yeah, maybe they'll just hold on to this fortune that they have until sometime next year. But it's good to know we have new $100 bills to look forward to with all kinds of amazing disappearing Liberty Bells. Is there something symbolic in that, the disappearing Liberty Bell? Should we read more into that? Disappearing liberties? No? No? Well, I think so. I think it's... But, you know, who looks at this? Whenever people hold bills up to the sky when you give it to them sometimes in stores, I don't know what they're looking for. I don't think they know what they're looking for. I think they're just doing that to see if you panic and bolt for the door. But people hand me bills sometimes, too, and I don't know what I'm supposed to see or not see. There's so many little things in there. I mean, yeah, if there's microscopic printing that says United States of America and that doesn't show up in a counterfeit bill, okay, you know it's counterfeit, but who is going to spend the time and look at a bill under a microscope to see if that's there? You'll know after the fact. When people are investigating, they'll know, but you won't know the person, the merchant who is actually receiving the bill. You'll just know to look for certain colors, maybe. So that's something else to keep in mind, that there's all kinds of weird bills out there circulating. Yes. Okay. Again, 631-632-6901. Let's see some action on the phone lines there. Finn, are we getting any calls? He's holding his hand up in the air like he's testing the wind. We got a call. Okay, so that's good. We got a single call. But, you know, you have four more fingers. I'd like to see those also extended outwards so that you could say we got a total of five calls. Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, but this really disturbing story of Amanda Todd, who was bullied relentlessly, not only in real life, but on the internet, and led to her suicide on September 7th. Or actually shortly after September 7th. She posted a YouTube video on the 7th, and it was actually fairly recently, within the last couple of weeks, that she killed herself. She posted the heartbreaking video on YouTube chronicling years of bullying in school and online, cutting and humiliation. She was 15 years old. She posted the video called My Story, Struggling, Bullying, Suicide, Self-Harm on the 7th of September, was found dead in her hometown in British Columbia this month. Hello, I've decided to tell you about my never-ending story. The black and white video begins. She can only be seen from her nose down for most of the video, occasionally moving around so that her face is visible. She silently tells her story through a series of white cards with black marker writing on them. She describes using webcam chats to meet and talk to new people online as a seventh grade student. She said that people told her she was stunning, beautiful, perfect, and a man pressured her to flash her chest. 1 year later, she did. Then she received a Facebook message from a man she did not know, saying that if she did not put on a show for him, he would send the photo of her chest to everyone. Over Christmas break, Todd said police came to her house at 4 a.m. to tell her the photo had been sent to everyone. Seems like a strange thing for the police to do, come to your house at 4 in the morning and tell you that a picture of you has been sent out over Facebook, but whatever. She said, I then got really sick and got anxiety, major depression, and panic disorders. I then moved and got into drugs and alcohol. A year after moving, she said things were going better until the man on Facebook came back and used the photo of her chest as his profile picture. She said she cried every night, but all my friends and respect people had for me. I lost all my friends and respect people had for me again. I can never get that photo back, she wrote. It's out there forever. She described being called names, eating lunch alone, resorting to cutting herself. She also told the story of an incident where she made a huge mistake and hooked up with a boy at her school who had a girlfriend, but who she believed really liked her. A week later, she said she received a text message telling her to get out of school, and then a group of students, led by the boy's girlfriend, surrounded her at school and said, "Look around, nobody likes you." The guy then yelled, "Just punch her already." So the girlfriend did. She threw me to the ground and punched me several times. Kids filmed it. I was all alone and left on the ground. She said she wanted to die so bad when her dad found her in a ditch. She drank bleach when she went home, had to be rushed to the hospital to have her stomach pumped. After I got home, she said all I saw was on Facebook. She deserved it. Did you wash the mud out of your hair? I hope she's dead. She moved to another school in another city, but said the torture followed her through Facebook. Students posted photos of ditches and suggested she try another bleach. Every day I think, why am I still here? Towards the end of the video, I'm stuck. What's left of me now? Nothing stops. I have nobody. I need someone. My name is Amanda Todd. Authorities were called to the residence in British Columbia just before 6 p.m. on October 10th to investigate the sudden death of the tormented teenager. While authorities have not officially called the death a suicide, they said in the statement, at this time it has been determined that the teen's death was not suspicious in nature and that foul play was not a factor. She said in her video she didn't want to press charges against the girl who beat her up because she wanted to move on when she moved to another city and school. Police didn't respond to a media request as to whether there was a probe into the man who used Todd's Facebook photo in an effort to exploit her and then made it public. She was in the 10th grade. Now, some updates to this story. A couple of people apparently have been taking advantage of this story for their own purposes. Amanda Todd's memorial page on Facebook has been very active since the teenager's death, drawing more than 700,000 likes, which, again, is kind of a strange term. But whatever, it definitely is attracting a lot of people, a lot of support. But not all the activity on the site has been positive. The page has been beset by trolls looking to anonymously stir up controversy by leaving upsetting messages on the site. Kind of what we've talked about on this show many times, as far as people posting the most offensive things you could possibly imagine on news sites and basically just trying to get people upset. And completely steering the conversation away from something constructive and intelligent and just making us all look like idiots. Anyway, one of these jerks has lost his anonymity because a woman tracked him down. And not long after that, he lost his job. Christine Claveau, a mother from Calgary, saw the man's comment on Todd's Facebook page, and rather than simply getting upset or lashing out from her computer, she made a concerted effort to find out who was behind it. "I just saw all these hateful comments, outrageous things, tormenting her after her passing. This one gentleman said something that just triggered something in me." After finding out the man's name and where he worked, she contacted his employer via email and shared what the man had done. The employer, a menswear chain in Toronto, responded immediately by firing the man, saying they will not tolerate the mistreatment of others under any circumstance. Now, trolling has, according to this story, moved into the mainstream. I think it's always been there. In the wake of Todd's death and a recent Gawker article outed one of Reddit's most notorious trolls, someone known as Violentacrez. It's the mask of anonymity that allows it to continue. On Tuesday, it was reported that Violentacrez, whose real name is Michael Brush, lost his job after his identity was revealed as well. And then yesterday, our friends at Anonymous named a 30-year-old man from British Columbia as the person responsible for the October 10th suicide. Yeah, the tables seem to have turned now. They are claiming that Cody Maxson, an alleged Facebook employee, harassed Amanda Todd so relentlessly that she took her own life. They've posted online all kinds of information that allegedly connects Maxson to Todd. And that information seems to create a rather clear connection between the alleged harasser and the victim here. And now the alleged victimizer has become the victim himself. Since the anonymous release of information, several groups have been created on Facebook. Groups like Cody Maxson Will Die. Seems that the citizens of the world have spoken, and they're sending a very personal message that creepers who harass will be put on blast. What does that mean? Well, I get the idea anyway. Canadian authorities are also taking the allegations very seriously. Authorities now investigating the circumstances surrounding Amanda Todd's death. Well, you know, it goes to show the sickness in our society and how social media doesn't take any of that away. It just makes it more powerful. All the good that social media can create, well, the bad it can also strengthen. and give people a reach like they never would have had before. Before Facebook and other such sites existed, yeah, if you moved to another town, you'd have to do some research to find out something about someone's history before they lived there. But now it's all online. Now you can simply look it up and find people, find out all kinds of things that will follow them all the time, true or not true. And, you know, in these early years of life, people are very vulnerable to this kind of thing, to the way other people think, to how certain things will be perceived or how it might affect them in the future. When you look at it, a picture of somebody lifting their top, in the bigger scheme of things, doesn't matter one bit. But to someone in junior high school or high school, it can be completely devastating. The way people treat you, the way you're perceived or targeted becomes the biggest thing in the world. And it's just amazing how, despite all the support that's out there that we know exists, that's not enough to reach people. That's not enough to stop this kind of tragedy from happening. And how relentless the bullying, whether it's in person or quote unquote cyberbullying, it never stops. And it doesn't, you know, even death doesn't stop it. In this particular case, you see how people continue because they simply think it's fun. It's fun to mess with people. That's really what it comes down to. There's this sort of detachment where they don't feel the emotions. In fact, if you do feel the emotions, that's stupid. Why would you waste time feeling emotions? Instead, let's just have some fun, mix things up, get a reaction, get people upset. And that's why you see all this offensive posting on any group that allows anonymous posting. Now, does this make being anonymous the enemy? Of course not. And don't listen to anybody who says that it does. But if you open things up and let anybody say anything without any kind of attribution, you can't be surprised when people just try to get attention and say the most despicable and offensive things imaginable. That's just going to happen. So having that kind of scenario, having that kind of a setup, it's a bad idea if you're looking for a good dialogue. That's especially a bad idea if people take it seriously and are hurt by the things that are said and feel there's no outlet for them. And, you know, look around. If there are people listening who are still in school, look around you and see how that affects your life and how the people around you are affected by social media and how important it all is. Do you know anybody in your school, for instance, who is not on social media? I would say that's somebody with a clue. That's somebody who realizes how unimportant it is in the greater scheme of things. Yeah, I've got different accounts on different services, but I certainly don't live by them. And you know, it's annoying as hell to me when people tell me things on social media and expect me to somehow know what's going on. You know, people who talk to me on a daily basis, or who certainly can talk to me on a daily basis. You know, something big happened in their life and I didn't know about it. Well, I tweeted about it. Didn't you see? No, I wasn't following a Twitter stream. I was living life on planet Earth. You're welcome to join me there and have a conversation. Tell me what's going on in your life. But no, I'm not going to find out major things on Twitter. I was invited to a wedding on Facebook. For God's sake, people, really? No, that's not how you live your life. And, you know, email, okay, great. I do read email. But lately, that's become something that's not cool anymore. I only send instant, what do they even call that on Twitter? Direct connect or something? Yeah, direct messages on Twitter. I only send those, or I only send Facebook messages. which you don't get an email. You have to sign on to those websites to be able to, well, you could hook it up so you get forwarded email, but come on, what's so hard about sending an email? Why is that all of a sudden a hard thing to do? People texting all the time, but not talking. It's very sad statement about where we are today. But again, that's not the real problem. I mean, that's just a symptom of the problem. The real problem is what's in our hearts, how we treat other people, how we stop caring and stop realizing the effect that things we say and do can have on others, especially people in vulnerable situations who don't always do the right thing, who don't always act the way that we want them to act. But that doesn't make them guilty. That doesn't make them deserving of anything bad that happens to them. There are Amanda Todds all over the place. I'm sure everybody listening knows one, or might even be one. And it's vital, it's crucial that we stay in communication and not let these things get so out of hand. And weed out the idiots so that they don't have this kind of power. There's no shortage of them. And sometimes we're the idiots. So, got to look out for all of that. Yeah, that story really kind of hit me. Couldn't believe it when I read it. This kind of thing still goes on. Probably always will in one form or another. All right, you can write to us, email otw@2600.com. No, we don't have a Facebook page. We don't have a Twitter account. Just email and phone calls when we take phone calls on the radio. And right now, we'd really like to get a phone call from you, pledging your support to this radio station so that we have a voice to speak about this and so many other items that we've talked about over the years. This show has been on the air since 2003. Can't believe that. Next year will be 10 years. Wow. And none of it would have been possible without the support of our listeners. And of course, without this radio station being here in the first place. So that's something to keep in mind. The value of having a voice, the value of being able to share music and news and information, variety of all sorts. 631-632-6901. Pledge of $25 goes a long way. Pledge of $50 goes a long way. Every pledge goes a long way. 631-632-6901. This is Emmanuel for Off the Wall. That's going to do it for me this week. Don't forget to watch the debate tonight. It's important. Regardless of what you think about the particular candidates or where we're heading, the conversation is what matters, and you got to pay attention for that to happen. All right. See you next week. Again, 631-632-6901. Have a good night.
Have you heard it was on the news? Your child can read you like a bedtime story, like a magazine, like a has been out to grass, like afternoon TV. Why is my life going by so fast? Separate. future from our past. Rock and roll.